you for the offering. I do want to say the offering on Tuesday for Brother Curtis was $1,867. And we appreciate what was given. We'll let you know about this other offering. It's our privilege to have Brother Dana Williams here in the morning services and how God has used him each morning to be a challenge and blessing to our life. You hear him gladly as he preaches to us. I'll get you water over.
All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12, and verse number 12.
Yep, man. Come on, brother.
I mentioned that Brother Charles Sunday, and it's in my heart to say it right now. Aren't you grateful for the body? Everything that your head does, it has to do it through the body. When I went to Israel, one of the reasons why I wanted to go was I wanted to go see where I was buried. Bible said I was buried with him. But I knew he wouldn't be in there. Because when the head got up, the body got up with it. And I knew the body is up because I'm part of the body. But every bit of help you'll ever get, you'll get through the body. That's the way the head operates. And I thank God for the body. That's represented here today as we minister one to another in song and preaching. Every part of the body has a different purpose. Thank God for the body. But thank God for the head that operates through the body. Well, I often say that there's three things hard to do in life. One is to climb a fence that's leaning to you. Two is to kiss a girl leaning from you. And three is to be the last preacher at a morning service when you can smell the food and the aroma in the kitchen. I've tried two of those. It ain't none of your business. Wonderful preaching. Man, just tremendous thoughts. The God who created things is bigger than the thing he created. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's great. I want to look at verse number 12. The Bible said, and when he had considered the thing, this is talking about Peter, the angel has just loosed him from prison. James was beheaded, and Herod planned on beheading him after the Passover. But God set him free.
Yes, he did.
He journeys to a little house. The Bible said, and when he had considered the thing, he came. to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together to pray. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, marked by God. M-A-R-K-E-D, by God. I'm talking about this young man mentioned in this text. John being his Hebrew name, Mark, of course, being his Greek name. John Mark. We're using this thought of the goings and comings and went and came. How that in Ruth's life, she went and came. Yes, sir. Naomi's life, she went and came. Yes, sir. Abraham's life, he went and came. In David's life, the Bible said he went and came. And of course, Jesus. John 7 said that he came, and then Acts chapter 1 said he went. The goings and comings of life. But it's not only true here of the many times, over 200 verses, those two words are listed in the same verse, but it's true in your life and mine, that life is the goings and comings, the went and came. But it's here this morning that I want to emphasize how that John Mark is marked by God in the goings and comings, the went and came, and the returns. And it's in our everyday living, travels, journeys, ventures, goings and comings as life is every day, that God uses those times to especially mark us. Not just to mark us, but if he's marking you in these places, he's marking you because he wants to use you to mark someone else. And we realize at the end of it all, as far as the goings and comings of God, that this young boy, John Mark, whatever his travels involved, the ups and downs and rounds and so on, that God has used him to mark all of our lives. And if you don't believe that, you turn to the second gospel that he is accredited for, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Aren't you glad for Mark? And could you imagine the gospels only being three? Aren't you glad there were four? Because he was marked. I want to point out to you three ways in which God marks him along the journey, making application to our lives. We've read verse number 12 where Peter goes into the very house that he's in, and then there are many others there, and then his mother Mary, who no doubt ministered unto Christ with the other ladies, knew him personally. But I want you to look in verse number 25. It introduces us to two other men that are connected with John Mark. The Bible said in Barnabas, whom we know from Scripture, was his uncle, a man full of the Holy Ghost. And Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, returned from Jerusalem. They've not yet been on a missionary journey. And when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So here we see his movement. Here we see his goings. Here we see his went and came. Look in verse number 13, if you will, of chapter number 13. The Bible said, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came, there's the journey, to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark departing from them, returned unto Jerusalem. Yes, sir. He's sort of in a roundabout. I skipped the verse. I want to go back to verse number 5 of chapter 13. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to be their minister. And then let's go to chapter number 15 and verse number 37, verse number 38. Paul and Barnabas continue on in that first missionary journey, and of course they come back. John has not been with them. He departed. Missing in action, defected. And of course, as we know the scripture, John Mark has told his uncle he wants to go back. The Bible said in verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. We'll read another verse at the end, but I just want to jump into this. I want us to look as to how God marks us along life's journey in the goings and comings. Very simple. First of all, I would point out to you that God marked Mark through his relations, through his relatives, through friends, and through family. How precious it was for him to have been placed, as verse 12 of chapter 12, in the home. To be a part of a home where your mother ministered to Christ. What an impact that must have been. To have been rocked to sleep at night in the songs of Zion, and to be taught of Christ and his character as a young man. But not only her, it's the saints that she has surrounded him with. I'm talking about those godly folks, those gospel folks, those gracious folks, who some of them were even his kinfolk. It was the very providence of God that has allowed him to be in this heavenly mix of people who would influence him and inspire him and instruct. Who would John Mark be had it not been for them? Amen. Could you imagine of being privileged to sit at the feet of the disciples who he knew personally because of these connections? Even in this very text, how curious this young boy must have been. Oftentimes, being in meetings just this past week, Esther and I went to sit down to eat, and this young boy, 13 years old, scooted over there, and he said, "Is anybody eating here beside of you?" I said, "You are if you want to." And he sat down. Of course, we didn't get a word in edgewise. He was a talker. But he was so interested in being close to someone who knew the Lord and was coming there as an evangelist, for whatever that might mean. And I love those impressions, don't you, that we can have upon these young people. But to be able to be John Mark and say, hey, Preacher Peter, could you tell me about that maniac of Gadara and what happened right there? Oh, yeah, son, I'll tell you. up into the wee hours of the morning, Mama's saying, you got to let Peter go to sleep, and we need to rest. Oh, no, Mama, just one more. I need to hear about him walking on the water. Amen. Did you really walk on the water? I did. How'd that go? Well, pretty good until I went under. Jesus pulled me out. Oh, story after story after story from Peter, who eventually says in his writings that Mark was like a son unto him. Amen. Think about your uncle being Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost. Think about walking along side by side with the one who would become the great Apostle Paul. I mean, his life is full of those God used to mark him. But oh, understand, this is not only true and had to be by God's providential hand for John Mark in the God placing him there in the whence and came and goings and comings, but it is also true in your life. And in my life. Who would we be now had it not been for those that God brought into our lives? God orchestrated that we cross paths with them. I could think right now of an innumerable number of saints on every level that I would not be who I am and could not do what I do had it not been for those who God allowed, those relations, those families, and those friends, and especially the church. I made a little list of myself. You won't know most of any of these probably, but these are humble souls over the years as a 14-year-old boy unto this hour. Brother Art Martin, what a gracious man, preached in his church. He's 90 years old, not pastoring, but he was there just a week or so ago. The first thing that stood out to me is when they called folks to come around the altar to pray. I've never seen anybody that could fold up like an accordion. But this much of a man of God and much of a preacher, so humble as I say, would come up, and I watched him go all the way down and fold up before God and beseech the Lord. Amen. And I said to my heart then, Lord, I want to be humble. I do not want to be proud. And I often tell that church that I always come by just to get my Art Martin fix. Amen. To see and feel that spirit that he carries. I think about an old mountain preacher by the name of Dick Limble. First time I ever heard anybody preach that hacked. But he said something between the hacks. Came out of those cold mountains up to Cleveland, Ohio to preach. He'd get up and he'd just start talking and walking around. And he'd say, now don't mind me, I'm waiting on the Lord. And pretty soon the Lord would come, and he had them beady eyes, and he'd turn his eye toward the ceiling and never look down again. And man, would he preach. Always loved to preach about the second coming. And he said, I see old John on the Isle of Patmos. And he looks up, and he sees that new. Now, he wasn't hacking just a hack. He needed air. I mean, that guy preached hard. Coming down out of heaven, I said, I like that. I never have learned to hack, but I like that. Can't you think of those people that have impressed your life through the years? Betsy Burleson passed away in her 90s. I was a 22-year-old fella pastoring a church there in the mountains, Roaring Creek. And that church is full of elderly saints that knew God. And I remember on one occasion, I'd really studied faith out. I had it down pat. 22 years old, and I got up there. Man, I was giving it. I was preaching on faith, and the Holy Ghost stopped me. And he said, now, son, if you'll just watch some of these folks in this church, I'll teach you what faith is in shoe leather. And you'll get more out of it than reading some book. I said, Lord, I'll take you up on that. And I'm going to tell you, for 4.5 years, I watched those saints who had been down to the graveyard and buried their sons and daughters and buried their husbands and had worked and labored all of their lives on them mountainsides to beat out a living, but had walked with God. I said, when I went there, they didn't even know who Billy Graham was. But they know who the Jesus was that went to the graveyard with them. Worked with them with the little mowing scythe on the side of those mountains. They knew the Lord. And I still preach out of their lives. How they touched me. Esther's grandpa passed away at 96. Pastored many churches. It had a car wreck and wasn't able to pastor the last 10 years of his life. Almost died. But I'd go over there to Boone especially to just sit at his feet. His mind was very clear. And he could tell me the old stories. And I'll never forget one morning I was standing there. He'd come out of the house. He'd always rub his chest right here when God was speaking to him. And he said to me, 90-some years old, looked at me, he said, young man, tears swelled up in his eyes. He said, I woke up this morning with a text of burning in my heart. Woo! Now I'm in my 20s. I'm saying, oh, God, would you give me that spirit that'll carry me through life, that still loves you at 96 and wants to serve you in the old age? I think about Harold Seidler. I think about Joe Parsons. I think about John and Marta Green, full of the Holy Ghost. I think about, my lists, our lists cannot be numbered, but not just my list. Can you not think of those that God intentionally planted you among them so he could mark you? Ah, the privilege to come to a place like this. With all of these men of God that we get to mix and mingle with and to listen to, and these saints that shout around here that's been down the road, I'm going to tell you, they've went and they've came, and I mean, they know the goings and comings of life. They've been there and done that, and they got something to share with us that are coming along behind them. John, I'm going to mark you with some great people. And when it was all said and done, what he knew was he had been marked by some people that had something. I'm glad I've met some people. I know they have something. He knew Peter had something. He knew Barnabas had something. He knew his mama had something. Isn't it wonderful to be able to come here and sit down and listen to them sing and preach and say, my goodness, did you hear that? They've got something. Yeah. And I must say this about probably my greatest hero is Brother Larry. And I was introduced to him at a young age. I guess I was about 19 or 20. And I'd been at Tabernacle, and there's a lot of good doctors. I was a great preacher. Then I went to that little church, and the first time, could you imagine Larry Winkler preaching at 25 years old? He didn't change. I mean, it's the same thing you get right now. He's just 26. Man, when he opened up and began to preach, I said, man, alive. I mean, this is a one-in-a-lifetime experience. You can't find this anywhere else. And then to realize here we are moving on down in our age, and for the last 4 years have been able to be at the same place, and I've been able to sit at his feet and hear him go at it again. I said, thank you, God. Because of all of those contacts, all of those connections live in me. And every time I preach some Joe Parsons. I preach some Will Cook. I preach some Dr. Seidler. preach a lot of Brother Larry. It lives in you. Can you imagine John Mark? He said, hey, let me tell you what Peter told me one day. Hey, here's what I heard Paul say one day. My Uncle Barnabas used to say this. Well, I want to hear it. He's been marked for life and don't even know it. Mark could say, hey, you want to hear what John told me one day? Yeah, I would. Now, I didn't understand it back then. I was just a young fella. Here's what John said. Well, let me get my pen. I want to write that down. Aren't you glad for the Brother Steve's? Preach for Brother Ronnie back there. Nobody has influenced my life any more than these two men have. I feel like that I'm in the presence of greatness, and I thank God for it. Hallelujah. For the family and friends that have touched and marked us. And he said in his heart, no doubt, boy, I know some folks that have got something. Marking you with folks that have got something. Amen. This is in the goings and comings. Thank God for the wents and cames that have blasted into my life. Those are the relations. Let me hurry on, and I want to emphasize God has marked him, not only through the friends and family. As we notice in the next moves of his life when he joins up with his uncle and the Apostle Paul, he becomes discouraged and then he bails out and he leaves. It is here that God will mark him with the reality of the goings and comings. Because in the realities of going and coming, what you do realize is your own, at some point in the goings and comings, the purpose of them is for God to put you somewhere to realize what you don't have. You can say, boy, my mama had it, John had it, Paul had it, I mean my Uncle Barnabas had it, but God will put you somewhere to show you what you don't have. Amen. I'm talking about reality of who you really are. You have to know that. He has to mark you with who you are. He has to show you and allow you to have faults and failures. God marks you that way. And it is here, I don't know what made him go. Of course, the influences of these great men. And I really don't know what made him leave. I think maybe it could have been the reality of the ministry. When he began to experience what came along with traveling with Paul and Barnabas, going to these different places. And in his heart, he watched them as they labored and as they toiled. And he realized he was lacking something. He was finding out there in the goings and comings and the went and cames that life had just developed into a roundabout. You ever been at those roundabouts? For us Americans, they are confusing, especially in Ireland when you go roundabout from left to right. And you're always afraid that somebody's going to dart in front of you. Or am I supposed to wait until they come behind me? And of course, Americans, we got some roundabouts down our way, but nobody knows nothing about them, so it's dangerous. Here in the goings and comings, he's got into a roundabout. He doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and what he is finding out is he don't know how to do it. And whatever they've got, he's found out he just doesn't have it. But that is of absolute necessity, that you find out who you are and what you can do, so God can take you beyond that. He must mark you with those faults and failures. He's simply saying within himself, I know they've got something, but whatever they've got, I just don't have the drive. I just don't have the ability. But here's what I want to say to you, and I'll hurry on. I want you to know that it is of vital importance. It's not bad for you to have some failure and fault in your life. It's going to happen. Could you imagine Moses if he had succeeded in convincing the children of Israel to leave with him when he was 40 years old? What a tragedy. Hey, I just all get together. I've been down to the school. I've been trained by Egypt. I know all. And the Bible said he supposed that he should lead them out. Hey, come on and follow me. It'll destroy him and everybody gets behind him. He can't do it and he has to find out he can't do it. Thank God for Moses' failure. Simon Peter himself, when Jesus said, you'll betray me, he said, I won't do it. Well, I know all these other disciples. I've listened to them talk. Now, they will, but not me. He said, you will do that. Now, could you suppose and imagine a Simon Peter that succeeded in not denying the Lord? On the day of Pentecost, he would have stood and said, men and brethren, you know me. I'm Simon Peter. Matter of fact, I got the keys right here to the kingdom. I walk on water. And I saw him up on the mount. And on and on and on. And 3,000 people would have died and went to hell. But oh, on that day when he failed and he wept and he looked toward Christ and saw his eyes, He knew he had failed. And he stood on the day of Pentecost and he said, men and brethren, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, he has made both Lord and Christ. He has to mark us. He has to mark us not only with relations, but he has to mark us with reality. Not only with friends and families, but with faults and failures. You got to find out you can't do it. I'm going to tell you. He can never live off of who Paul is. He can never survive off of who Barnabas is. He's going to have to find out who he is. And what he's saying is, I ain't got it. Thank God for the times God will bring you to the place in certain events to say, I just don't have it. He was marked. God intends on. But by the way, when they started this trip, his uncle was in charge. They hadn't got far along until now Paul's in charge, and you can imagine he would be. When Paul was lost, he went after the church like a madman. But when he got saved, that didn't change. He just went spreading the gospel like a madman. He didn't have no time for those who were not interested in giving 110%. And I can hear John Mark saying to his uncle, Barnabas saying, hey, Uncle Barn, I mean, talk to Paul. We need to take a night off. We need to get a motel somewhere and rest. We need to eat somewhere. We don't need to just run in and barge in like he does. We always get in trouble. And Barnabas would say, well, I can't stop him. That's just the way that he is. He's a man that's on a mission. And Mark realizes he cannot keep up with that. And so he returns or he leaves to go back. But I'm not going to throw any stones at him. Let me read the application in case you want to go. He didn't get it. Paul said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. Anybody want to go? We got a trip going up. We got a trip. Sign up. In journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the city, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold, and in nakedness. Whatever Paul had that would allow him to do that, John Mark said, I can't do it. Now, I did this out at Brother Carey's in his youth meeting. And I said to the preachers that were along the wall, and there were probably 25 of them, I said, they want these young people to watch you. And if you are a man of God, a pastor, missionary, evangelist, would you stand? And they all stood, and they sat back down. I said, all right, I'm going to ask a question of these men, and I want you young people to watch this. I said, if you are a man of God and you've been serving God any period of time, and you've never faltered or failed, and you are perfect, would you stand? You know how many stood? None. And I said, what these young people need to understand coming into these meetings, and it is this truth. If 25 preachers that have been pastoring and preaching and missionary for all these years can't stand and say they hadn't had failures, I know they didn't want to. We don't want to. But cannot say that they've lived a perfect life. How under God's earth are you going to be able to do it? God will take you along the journeys, the roundabouts, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the wins and came to find out what you've got. And it won't hurt you to find out if you don't have anything. The sooner the better. The last thing. He has marked him with these relations, family and friends. He has marked him with reality, faults, and failures. But oh, I think the greatest thing that marked John Mark was that he was marked with restoration. And the goings and comings and went and came. Here he comes. He has been marked with friends and families. He's been marked with faults and failures. But thank God the heart of the gospel is present here. And he's being marked with forgiveness. Amen. The greatest thing that you could ever learn is not that you're perfect, but that you've been forgiven. Amen. That is the cross, God's forgiveness. This camp meeting's not for perfect people. If you're perfect, you don't need to be here. Go somewhere else. This is for people who have found out they need help and they're not perfect. And in their daily walks, they realize they need restoration. How many times have you had to bow the knee? How many times say, oh God, forgive me my attitude. Forgive me my words. Forgive me my actions. Forgive me my thoughts. I need restored. And when I hear that someone has fallen to whatever degree it is, my heart sorrows for that. But immediately my heart leaps and says, I can't wait for him to get back. I can't wait for him to make the circle and head back. And I've seen so many of them. Yes, they've fallen hard. But I've seen them come back forgiven. I think his mama forgave him. They always do, don't they? He came back and she said, what are you doing here, son? He said, I couldn't handle it. Mom, I don't know. They've got something I don't have. She said, well, son, you just get along with God until you find out what you've got, what he wants you to do. I think the church forgave him where he was at. I know his Uncle Barnabas did. He said, yeah, boy. He came to his Uncle Barnabas and said, no doubt, Uncle Barnabas, I'm sorry for what I did. I was young and ignorant. I just didn't have it. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't make it out there. But I've been wrestling with God while I've been back. I come that road over here and I've been laying with him and praying. And God's put it in my heart. And he said, boy, I know it'll be humbling, but you get with your uncle and you get back over there because that's what I want to do in you and through you. And he said, Uncle Barn, I've got something now. I've got it. I know I've got it. And I've got to use it. And I'll go with you and Paul, but if you don't want me to go, I understand. But listen. I'm going to go on my own because I got it in me. Don't you like it when you find out what you got? You find out what God wants to do in you, what God wants to do through you. He's got something now. He's been forgiven by his mama, no doubt. He's been forgiven by the church. That's what the church is all about. He's been forgiven by Barnabas. And as he and Barnabas journeys back to those places where they had been, the question is going to be asked, well, where's Paul at? And he's going to have to say, well, there was division. It was all my fault. For how I did. Oh, we remember how you left all of a sudden. We thought maybe you were sick. He said, I was. Sick of the mission trip. And I think they forgave him. And then the day came. That he thought would never come. That Paul writes Timothy at Ephesus. Verse 11. Timothy must know Mark. Probably had him preach for him many times. And he said, take John Mark and bring him. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. He has now been forgiven and accepted by his mama, by the church, by his uncle. And now the Apostle Paul has said, boy, come on, I need you. He's being marked in his goings and comings. He sent them back and back and back and back, and I got something. Don't go to judging everybody on the winding roads about what's happening where they're at. They may not be where God's going to get them to. I don't know how that came about, but I like to imagine, and since I'm preaching, I'm going to do that for a minute. Timothy's communicating with Paul all the time. I can see him going. He said, bring him. So obviously he's been there. He knows how to get there. And I can see Timothy visiting him so often. And I can hear Paul saying, well, who's doing the preaching while you're gone? Oh, he said, I got John Mark preaching for me. If I'm gone, I just, John Mark? Do you know what he did when he ran away and left us in the work? That's why you got John. Oh, he said, Paul, you ought to hear him preach. Man, God's using him. He's mighty. Really? Peter knows about John's writings. I'm sure Paul knows about Peter's writings, and maybe they communicate. And I can hear Peter and John, or I'm talking about Paul. I can hear Paul saying to Peter, what you been doing lately? Oh, me and John Mark, we've been traveling around doing some preaching together. He said, you're traveling with John Mark? Oh, my goodness. Have you heard that? That boy has got something. He's got something, Paul.
Amen.
He said, matter of fact, Paul, that boy's writing a book. He's writing a book. Yeah, he got three chapters done already. And I'm going to tell you, it's clear as a bell about Jesus. God began to thunder that in this old boy. And Paul said, I got to forgive him. And he said, get that boy here as quick as you can. Put him on a train. Get him here. The goings and comings of the mark of God upon his life. Wonder what happened when they saw one another. I can hear John Mark said, Paul, I'm sorry. No, don't worry about it, son. It ain't you, it's me. I didn't realize God had you on a journey. The goings and comings was going to bring you back. Like you are. Hey, good news, children. There's a lot out there that's been here, and they're going and coming. But God has a way of restoration. Does he not? A way of restoration. A couple of things, illustration. I read where in Detroit, Michigan, they were having an art display of some of the famous artists down through the years. And they brought two paintings by Rembrandt, painted in the 1600s, put them on display. And where there were those who studied and the critics of paintings and as to their value and so on, and they got to looking at two of them, and they automatically said, well, now, that one right there is not Rembrandt's. Can't be. But said, this one over here is. So they sent to get those specialists who only studied Rembrandt's paintings. And they came, and just in an instant, they looked at them, and they said, well, they are right. This is not Rembrandt's painting. And this one certainly is. They said, well, how can you just look at it and notice it? They said, well, if you know anything about Rembrandt's paintings, there were a lot of imperfections in them. And he wouldn't correct them. He left them. And they said, this painting right here is filled with imperfections. That's his. This one over here, all the imperfections are being covered up. It's fake. It ain't his. And you know what sold as the masterpiece on that day? The Rembrandt painting that was full, I'm going to tell you, of imperfections.
Amen.
And if somebody comes up to you and wants to influence you and make you think that you are all so perfect and so holy and so righteous and so heavenly and nothing ever been wrong in your life, they're fake. I don't care if they're a preacher or whatever. They're fake. I don't like to hang around with fakes. I like to hang around with somebody. If I ain't with them 5 minutes, I'll see an imperfection. And I know they'll see it in me. I never preach for a man that when I drive off, I can't realize that that was really a man. But God was using him. And they was thinking the same thing with me. Said, well, a lot of strange things about Dana. I don't know why I have him, but I like to. That's just the way it goes, ain't it?
Amen, preacher.
Huh?
Amen.
He's being marked. I close with this. I heard about three umpires that were discussing balls and strikes before the game had started. One of them boastfully said, "When it comes to balls and strikes, I call them like I see them." The other one, not to be outdone, breathed out and said, "When it comes to balls and strikes, I call them just like they are." And the last one spoke up and said, "When it comes to balls and strikes, they ain't nothing until I call them." Hey, I'm glad his mama forgave him. I'm glad his church forgave him. I'm glad his uncle forgave him. And I'm glad Paul forgave him. But I'm going to tell you, there's only one that really counts, and that's God. And thank God he forgave him and marked him for life so that he could mark you, and he marked me. He was to be the minister. Chapter 13, verse 5. They pointed him out as the gopher, the greenhorn. That was to be his job. That's what he run from. But he wrote, and that word minister, it means servant. And when he wrote the book of Mark, he wrote the gospel that spoke of Christ as a what? Servant. An ox. Somebody said, "Why'd you do that?" I've been marked. I've been marked. I'm glad for the times I've been marked by the saints. I'm glad for the times I've been marked by my own imperfections. But I'm glad for the times that I've been marked with the restoration of God. Let's stand.